Okay, so I have to show you something. Show Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you show me?
Look at this.
No.
Yeah.
Get that. That's not real. That's fake.
No, it's dead for real.
No, what happened?
Well, GoFundMe created to help Mighty Ducks after Sean Weiss. I think that's how you say his name. Like, look at... You can tell it's him, too, by, like, the nose. At first, I was like, no way. Like, that can't be him. But that's, like, that's what meth does to you. Welcome back to Fine Wine and Evil Spirits, a husband and wife podcast where we drink and talk about the unearthly.
And drink more and talk about the unearthly.
Yeah. We've been away for a while, but we are working on getting back into the groove now that all the holidays and craziness is hopefully over for a little while.
Always craziness.
I know.
Wouldn't be normal without craze.
Yeah, because you're crazy.
Yeah, to be determined.
So tonight we're drinking Free Will Brewing Cranberry Wheat.
And my favorite, Pabst. Well, my cheap favorite beer, I guess. Pabst.
Yeah. And I'm thinking we should have gotten the Bailey's Irish Cream because I think they make like an almond milk one now.
Mm.
Since we're doing Ireland.
Ireland.
Okay, just because... That is a pirate. That's not an Irish accent.
I'm pretty sure that was Irish.
That wasn't Irish at all. Like, not even close. Ugh. So, sometimes at work, when I'm, like, taking phone calls,
mm-hmm.
I get, like, an Irish person, and it's not even close to that.
Yeah. I gotta work on it.
Unless it's, like, an Irish pirate.
An Irish pirate?
Yeah. So... Really? Our first story tonight is about vampires.
They bite.
Yes. So, fun fact, Bram Stoker was Irish. And I'm assuming that you don't know who Bram Stoker is, though?
I don't.
Okay. Since it doesn't involve footballs or transmissions, I will explain to you. Bram Stoker wrote Dracula. He was like, yeah, the guy who wrote Dracula. So you should know that.
I should, but I don't. You should.
So he wrote it in 1897, and it took place in Transylvania. Transylvania.
Got a little bit of lips.
And the story was based off Vlad the Impaler, or at least so we thought, who was a Romanian ruler and known for granting bloody deaths to his victims. Get it? Like, impaling?
Impaling.
Although the story took place in Romania, Stoker got his inspiration from Ireland's tales of the undead. The legend of the Irish king, Abertach, I think that's how you say it, Abertach.
Yep.
Was that he was a small dwarf. That could have, or he could have possibly been injured during battle to make him look like smaller.
Right.
Or from wizardry, because Ireland is a magical place.
Right. And like that tea kettle at your aunt's. That was magical.
No, that's technology.
It's magical.
No, it's technology. A self-heating teapot
is magical, Sarah.
It's technology.
It is technology, but it's magical.
So, but back then, men of war were seen as big and strong, so they blamed it on, like, you know, something unknown.
Right.
Anyway, he was known as being evil. He was an unforgiving man and hated by his own people. He even thought that his wife was having an affair, so he tried spying on her by climbing out the window. Idiot. to catch her in the act. When he did, he fell to his death and wasn't discovered until the next morning. People were actually relieved that he was dead and buried him quickly. I think with, like, obviously probably without, like, some kind of ceremony because they hated him.
Right.
But he only stayed buried until the next day. He showed up demanding that people cut their wrists and fill bowls with blood.
Why?
Because he was a vampire. The people of the town reached out to a leader, I think it's pronounced Cathon, from the neighboring village asking for help. Cathon agreed and waited for Abertach to come back, and when he did, Cathon killed him. They buried him again, but the next day, he was back with his bowl demanding blood. Cathon killed him again. What is this, the third time?
Yeah, damn. then like a cat got 9 lives. Yeah. Used 3.
Then buried him in a remote grave, only to be shocked the next morning when he showed up again for blood.
Damn.
So they reached out to the local saint for assistance. Of course, he prayed for them. And then he told Cathon that Abertach could not be killed again because he was already dead. That explains everything. He couldn't kill him because he was already dead. The only way to keep him dead and gone would be to stab him in the heart with a sword made from a yew tree, put him in the ground upside down, and cover him with ash, branches, and thorns.
A yew tree?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What the hell is a yew tree? Mom.
I don't know. Let's look
at it. I just thought it had to be like a vampire, is like just like a wooden whatever.
Well, you know, like people have to complicate things. An English yew.
How is that going to do anything? I'm looking at this yew tree and there's no way.
Well, I mean, there's no way. It just...
It looks like a bush.
It's coniferous.
You're coniferous. This is coniferous.
It has poison seeds.
poison seeds. Okay, maybe.
Maybe that's why. I don't know.
But it looks more like a bush. I don't understand like how that's going to... Unless you use the...
Something about the church. All right, so anyway, he had to stab him from a sword made from the yew tree.
Oh, okay, good. So he's putting that onto the sword.
Like he's stabbing him with a wooden stake, basically.
Right, with the
yew tree.
That makes more sense.
At the end, a stone slab needed to be placed over the grave, and it could never be taken off or he could rise again. Cathon did as he was told, and no one saw Abertach walking around again. His grave can be visited to this day, but people have warned that even recently, that those who have gone have had bad experiences. And then I have another vampire story.
Okay.
The Darg Dhu, Dirg Dhu, how would you say
Bartle
that?
Dhu?
No, not Bartle Dhu. Okay, it can be translated to the red blood sucker, which resembles a modern-day vampire. So the story goes that she was a pretty daughter of a prominent member of the community who fell in love with a peasant. When her father found out, he quickly gave her to a wealthy older man, forcing her into a marriage with an abusive husband, and she wound up killing herself. Distraught and heartbroken, her lover cried over her grave and begged for her to come back to him. There are different versions of the story, one in which the woman came back from the grave on her 1-year death anniversary. Mm. She sought revenge, visiting her father while he was asleep and placing her mouth over his, sucking the life from him. Then she went to the home of her husband and drank his blood, which gave her life. But because she had fed on him, she developed a thirst for blood and began to feed on innocence to satiate her.
Mm.
They say that her grave is in Waterford, Ireland, under a strong boughs tree. Each year, locals place stones to keep her from rising and luring men to their death.
I'm not going there.
It's crazy because like, I kind of want to go to Ireland. I've always wanted to
pictures
go to Ireland.
Pictures are pretty,
now.
But...
The pictures are pretty.
Now you have some crazy vampire lady chasing you around.
Yeah, but you could... There's vampire stories here, Kevin. All right, so the next story is The Ghost of Jack Hasten.
Hasten.
That's a kind of cool name.
It is a cool name.
I feel like it's like a...
Baseball name?
Yeah, like some kind of like athlete. Pitcher? But he wasn't an athlete. The Hasten family lived in Waterford during the 19th century near the harbor. Jack Hasten was a seaman. Go ahead, laugh. On his ship called the Thomas Emery. I wonder why it was named that. Because aren't ships usually named after girls?
Like bikes or cars, I meant?
I thought that like boats were named after like... girl
names. I heard that with cars, like, you name it, like, a girl name.
So anyway, his twin brother Eli was at home and about to go to sleep when he was startled by the sound of running feet coming toward the house. When he looked out the window, he saw his brother coming at the house from the direction of the harbor. Three figures were running behind him. Jack screamed for Eli to help him, but Eli couldn't move or speak, only listened to his brother's frightened shouts for help. A cloud passed in front of the moon, and Jack was gone just as quickly as he showed. Only then was Eli able to move again. When the Haston family woke the next morning, they received news that Jack had been sleepwalking and fell overboard, drowning.
Damn, that's like the worst kind of death, like drowning to death. Like,
yeah, but his brother saw it happen.
Didn't even try to help him. Maybe he was scared of going in the water.
Kevin, he was at home. His brother was on the boat.
Oh.
Yeah. When the Haston family woke the next morning, they received news that Jack had been sleepwalking. Oh, I already read that part, didn't I? despite their father's statement that neither of his sons sleepwalk, Jack's crewmates testified that they saw him getting up from his bunk, dressing, and walking along the ship while he was asleep on multiple occasions. The verdict? Death by accidental drowning. So 20 years later, Eli keeps going to this bar in Cork while on business trips. One night, the barman told him that a man named Mr. Webster requested to meet with him. Eli, curious of what the man could possibly want to talk to him about, agreed and went to the address he was given. Webster's own son, Tom, had died a month before, but before his death, he told his father a story from his youth. On a moonlit night, he saw three people going out into a dinghy. Two had a dinghy.
There's a dinghy?
A dinghy. It's a small boat.
A dinghy is a small boat. Yeah. I never heard that before.
You haven't?
No, I never went on a dinghy. I don't think I ever went on a dinghy.
You're a dinghy.
It sounds like what you call somebody when you're insulting them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you dinghy. I was calling people dinghies.
So two had the heads of hounds and the other had a deer's head, scaring the daylights out of him as they rowed out to a ship in the harbor. The three figures chased a man down the length of the ship and heard the man say, "For God's sake, help me." Tom wasn't able to move. Instead, he listened to the pleas, feet planted on the ground. He watched as the man was thrown from the deck of the ship. Eventually, the yelling and splashing ceased and was replaced with the sound of laughing from the deck. The three figures took off their masks. Tom held on to the regret of not helping the man, and it weighed heavy on his mind for 20 years. It may seem insane that Eli saw the death of his brother that night, but in Ireland, it is said that family members can see the death of a close relative, which would make sense since they were twins.
Hmm.
So, like, my mom said on, like, a couple occasions, and I can only remember, like, one for sure, but she said that she had a dream that my grandfather's mother died. Or, like, no, she didn't die in the dream, but, like, she came to her in the dream and said, like, "I just want to let you know, like, I'm good. Like, tell everybody that I'm fine." And then my mom woke up and she had a call that my great-grandmom died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I feel like I can, like, I've never seen things, but I feel like I can sense things, like, when something bad's going to happen.
You got, like, that sixth sense.
No.
Literally.
I don't want the 6 cents.
6 pennies.
Get a 6 cent. I get it. That's rude. If I gotta share those 6 pennies with you, then I only have 3. Yeah, but it's weird because, like I told you before, when my dad was, like, first starting to go to the doctor, like, when he felt sick, I had been following him, and then I went to make a left onto the one road, and he was going straight, and I saw him put his, like, hand out the window to, like, wave, but, like, the wave was, like, weird, like, it was, like, it felt like it was in slow motion, and then when I got home, like, I just had this, like, horrible feeling that something, like, was changing, and something bad was gonna happen. So, I don't know. So the next story is the Ross Castle.
Ross Castle.
In 1536, Richard Nugent, the 12th Lord of Delvin, had the Ross Castle built. It strategically overlooked the enemy's territory, and it took many years for the workmen to cut the stone and construct the castle. Surrounded by walled living quarters and defensive buildings, today the entrance gate to the to the inner yard has outlived the centuries and is a tribute to the men who built it. It is rumored that there are underground grottos and walkways under the structure of the castle, and I'm assuming that was for like
grottos.
Yeah,
what's a grotto? I think,
like a grotto is no garage. What does it even mean? A garage? It's like a dwelling. Let's look it up real quick. Grotto. A small picturesque cave. So like yeah.
Okay,
so
I know what it is. I've seen that before. Okay. I just didn't know it was called
that. So I'm assuming that was made for like defense purposes, like in case they were like
ambushed. Attacked.
Okay.
The Vikings came or something.
Yeah. Nugent was also called the Black Baron, as he was hard on people, ill tempered, and known for a mean streak.
That's not good.
No. To understand his personality, a continued story tells of a townswoman who had finished baking bread and placed the loaf on the windowsill to cook when a dog came and took the bread. The woman didn't see it happen, but noticed that it was gone as a beggar was walking by. She called out that a thief had stolen her bread. The beggar decided to rest under a tree for a nap, but the baron had found out about the bread thief, and he tore through the village, questioning the beggar still under the tree. The beggar told him that he didn't do it, but the baron sent him to the gallows anyway, and he was hanged in the middle of the town.
Wow, that's not even right.
I know.
He didn't even do it.
Can you imagine? It wasn't until after the death of the beggar that the townspeople found the bread. They found it.
Wrong drawer.
What? They put a cross where the gallows stood, and even after 500 years, it's still remembered. The baron had a daughter named Sabina. Despite the daughter, despite being a daughter of the English lord, she communicated regularly with the Irish locals, and people liked her within the village. Although she was rarely alone, she was able to break free every once in a while. During one of those times, she met a man named Orwin, son of an O'Reilly leader, one of her father's enemies. They continued to meet, and over time, they fell in love.
Aww.
Sounds like a Romeo and Juliet story. Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. I used to know the whole thing.
Nope. Sorry.
Yeah, it's gone. It's totally gone.
Like the wind.
Despite their feelings for one another, they knew they could never be together, even though they spoke of marriage often. They were fond of each other, but their families were foes.
Foes?
Now I'm going to watch Romeo and Juliet. Like the Leonardo DiCaprio one. And Jamie Kennedy was in it as Samson.
And start quoting.
I know some quotes.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I was going to say something different.
I'm probably glad that I stopped.
I don't know where I was going with that.
So anyway, long story short, they eloped and prepared to leave their home so they could be together.
Yeah.
They boarded a boat on the shore and began to cross the lake, but a storm came out of nowhere, overturning the boat. I feel like I've heard this story before.
Overturning
a
boat?
No, like they escaped at night and went on a boat. Oh my god, what was it? It's gonna drive me nuts.
Probably a lot of stories like that, though.
Yeah, but I remember one in particular. Oh god, it's gonna drive me nuts.
Like a squirrel's best friend?
No. Sabina was rescued, but was unconscious for 3 days. Orwin, on the other hand, drowned. His body eventually turned up because of her but because of her loss, Sabina refused to eat or drink anything. She locked herself in the tower until she fell asleep one night and did not wake up.
Wow.
Dun dun dun. And like, okay, the movie that I'm talking about that I remember it clearly, it was the one guy I really, really don't like. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to have to figure it out. So Sabina's said to haunt the castle walls. Visitors and guests have seen her spirit, believing that she'll forever be restless until she's reconnected with Orwyn. That's a terrible name. Orwyn. Some believe that Sabina's fate was a direct result of her father's malicious actions against others. His spirit has also been seen throughout the castle, and many say that his soul will not find rest, grieving the loss of his only daughter because of how cruel he was to his victims.
Hmm.
But, so, like, I was looking on the website.
It's a really sad story, actually.
Like, I know, it is really sad. And it's going to drive me nuts about what movie that was.
Like, I can't remember at all
what movie that was. No, I don't think I saw it with you. I think I watched it probably while you were at work.
It wasn't a sci-fi movie, was it?
No, it wasn't a sci-fi movie.
What's wrong with sci-fi movies?
No.
You said like it was an insult.
Some are good. Like,
sci-fi movies.
some sci-fi movies are good. Oh, did you hear that they're coming out with a Quiet Place 2, Part 2?
No.
What is it
called? You're my movie person. That's where I get my updates.
What was that supposed to be?
It's a Sports Center thing, like when there's an
update. Like John Madden? Sports Center? I know, he died. Oh my gosh, now I can't remember. City of Bones? City of Bones. I remember the one guy that's in it. What was I gonna say? What were we talking about?
I forget.
You said a movie.
I'm living in the moment.
You're not living in a moment. So the last story, and this one kind of like, I don't know, it kind of creeps me out because this is something that like I've thought about before. It's about changelings. Do you know what changelings are?
No.
So, have you've seen, I'm pretty sure you saw the episode in Supernatural.
Yeah, which one?
The one where the kids, like, aren't the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was the TV show Camelot that I'm thinking of.
Camelot, oh, okay.
Not the changelings. The Camelot, the one I saw, the movie with the guy who runs away. Or it might have been Merlin. I don't remember. I remember somebody was in it that I didn't like. So anyway, changelings are mythical fairy creatures that take the place of newborn humans. In the Supernatural episode, though,
right.
It was like, I don't know exactly who it was because I was so long ago. But somebody was like basically kidnapping the kids, replacing them with kids that looked like them, but they weren't actually kids. They were like some kind of demon. Do you remember that? And then there was like the mark on the back of the...
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
So that freaks...
And the parents were scared of the kids, but the kids were... Yeah, I do remember that episode now.
That freaks the shit out of me. Because take away the fact that the kid's like eating you. Like, that lady literally just thought that her kid was just like pure evil, right? And she drives into the water to like in the car and like lets it go, and the kid's in there, so she thinks like the kid's gone, the kid's dead. She's like upset, but she's also kind of like cuckoo because of all that's going on,
right?
And then the kid just shows up at the house.
Yeah,
so like the thought there is absolutely terrifying me. And don't you for one second think that when when my kids are acting weird, I don't consider that an option.
That's what TV does to you guys. Get your mind all scrambled like eggs. Scrambled eggs?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. I got it. So the fairies steal the human children to make them servants in the fairy world.
Mm.
Why would you do that? They're not good servants. They're terrible.
I think of like Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I know. But these are like, I guess like, I don't know if they're considered evil. I guess they're considered evil.
Where's Tinkerbell? Isn't Tinkerbell like a good guy?
Like, Tinkerbell's in fucking Neverland.
Well, doesn't she go everywhere? Doesn't she leave outside of Neverland?
No. She only goes where Peter goes.
Peter goes everywhere.
Peter does not go everywhere.
Whoa. Peter goes everywhere.
Peter only went to the world to see, I guess, Wendy? What it was like. And then he met Wendy, darling. Did he meet Wendy or did he meet her mom? I don't remember because there's so many variations that it makes it very confusing. No, you meant
Wendy.
Right? Wendy Moore. No. Wendy Moore, Angela Darling.
Wendy Moore. What did you say that? Say that one more time.
No.
You said Wendy Moore?
Angela Darling, but that was the one he fell in love with and he considered leaving, right? It explains it in Hook, doesn't it?
I don't remember the movie.
You don't remember anything.
Yep.
That
Peter, man, he was a pioneer.
So anyway, back to Tinkerbell. Jesus Christ. When Mora was the daughter, and Wendy, or the granddaughter, and then Wendy was the grandmother, right?
Were they both named Wendy?
Now I'm confused. Because there's Wendy, sorry, John, and... No, there's Wendy, John, and Peter are the kids.
Yeah, Wendy, John... Hold on, no, I thought Wendy was the one that he was trying to get him to... Trying to get her to go to Neverland.
Yes.
And bring all her brothers with her.
Yeah, John and... Now I lost the other name. Wendy, John, and George.
Carl.
No. Oh my God. All right. On with the story.
Moving forward.
Moving forward.
We do not know our Peter Pan story.
So apparently the fairies want to get the love of a human child.
Right.
In some cases. And then also because of malice or revenge. Like say a human does something to a fairy and they're not so happy with it.
Go get one of these.
Yeah.
Uppercut.
No. Sometimes before the child's taken, it would become sick or it would like take on a strange appearance and people would like think that the fairies were at work.
Mm-hmm.
In medieval times, people would claim that the children with like deformities or illness or other conditions were switched with a changeling as a reason to kill or abandon the baby.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah. There were others that cared for the baby even if they believed that it was switched with a changeling, fearing that if they didn't, that their actual baby would be harmed. And then, so, interesting, not all the changelings were considered to be babies. No. So there was a story I found about Bridget Cleary.
Bridget Cleary? Who's that?
I'm about to tell you. she wasn't a child when she was accused of being a changeling.
Really? How old was she?
26. Anyway,
pretty much a child still.
No.
The 26?
God, you act like you're 50. In 1887, Bridget married her husband, Michael Cleary, and they had no children. She was an independent woman who was involved in activities that women didn't really do all the time.
Right.
She earned money alongside her husband, and she was, like, financially independent.
That's good.
Yeah, especially in 1887.
Right?
Right. So in March of 1895, when she was 26 years old, she became sick and was diagnosed with bronchitis. Not too big of a deal, right?
Back then, it was a big deal.
You're supposed to say yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's wrong. It was the leading cause of death in Europe at that time, because they didn't have the medicine for it, Kevin.
Yeah, they didn't have the tech.
Where did I go? Oh, okay. But her husband wasn't entirely convinced that she was ill. He believed that she was a fairy, that his real wife had been swapped out for a changeling.
Really?
And then she was gone. You hear these dramatic pauses?
Yeah.
They searched for her until her body was found in a shallow grave, wrapped in a sheet, and her body was burned. Michael confessed that he had killed her, but it wasn't his wife that he had killed. It was the changeling. She'd been tortured as he attempted to get an admission that she was a witch, only acting as his wife. And he wasn't the only one. Dramatic pause.
I can't. What?
Michael had the help of 8 others, and all 9 were arrested for Bridget's death. During the trial, the following information was discovered. In the beginning of March, Bridget had been walking home where she passed by a fairy fort. And when she got home, she came down with a bad headache. Her illness progressed, but she didn't go to the doctor for some time. A priest even came to the house to perform the last rites in the event that her condition turned for the worst. So, like, she comes home with a headache.
Right.
She decides...
Husband thinks she's possessed.
No.
And just like, yeah, we're going to offer...
No.
Too much headache. Listen, too much work.
So she comes home with a headache, right? And her husband's like, oh my God, I've had a headache once. I thought I was going to die. Let's get the priest over here for the last rites because I'm a giant man baby who can't handle being sick. That's exactly what happened.
That's what happens in 1887.
And also in 2020. remember that one time that you got sick and you're like, I don't think I'm ever getting better.
That was a long time.
You don't remember that? Do you remember that?
No, I don't recall.
So where was I at?
I don't know.
Oh, the last
right. From the top.
No, my God, no.
Remix.
So, no. That night, the first of Michael's torture sessions took place.
Jordan? No. But I think of Michael, that's what I think of. Ow.
He and others administered herbs to ward off fairies and threatened to poke her with a hot poker.
Poker like this?
Yes, with a hot poker. Sizzle your skin and shit.
Ow.
If she didn't give him information. But she didn't have information to give him because she was just sick with fucking bronchitis.
Oh my God.
So for the
what a rude guy, man.
Dude, what an asshole.
Right.
For the second session, Michael and Bridget's father,
both started poking at her.
Asked her 3 times about who she really was. They and the others gave her more herbal medications, and threw urine on her while threatening to burn her again. This girl is sick with freaking bronchitis.
Her dad's burning her.
And they're poking her.
Did you say
throwing poop? Urine.
Oh, urine, pee. Oh, no.
At her.
What would urine do to help?
I don't know. Maybe it's
maybe
holy.
To put out the fire? Or the...
Kevin, no. They were just throwing urine on her.
They're just throwing... That's so disrespectful.
And then the third session was their final session.
Oh, my God.
Because they killed her.
Oh, my God.
And they dumped her body in a shallow grave. Sons of bitches, I'll tell you.
They got arrested, right?
Yeah. So Michael, her husband, was guilty of manslaughter, 20 years in prison. That's it.
Well, back then, that's like a life sentence.
His accomplices, which included Bridget's father, received anywhere from 6 months to 5 years.
That's ridiculous.
So then when Michael, her husband, got out, and he got out in 15 years. He didn't even serve the whole sentence. And then he moved to Canada. Good luck, Canada.
They're nice in Canada. A-class people.
Canada's so pretty, but it's so cold.
Too cold.
If you want to hear a more in-depth and sober description of exactly what Bridget went through, check out the Irish History Podcast, the episode titled Bridget Cleary, the last woman burned alive in Ireland. And it's spoken by a man who was Irish, and he has an Irish accent. And, like, his account is, like, so interesting because, like, you could tell he did, like, a lot
of research on it.
And it's just insane the fact that she had to go through that and, like, what she, like, dealt with on her last days. Can you just imagine, like,
they didn't understand that much back then. And then the unknown,
Kevin,
they would
just
torture
you. If you think about
it,
though, it wasn't really that long ago. 100 years ago?
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
100 years and 120 years ago.
It takes people a long time to adapt to anything.
130 years ago. It's just crazy to me. So, if we ever go to Ireland, we have to figure out where these fairy forts are and not go near them. And if you decide to torture me, just know I will torture you back. I will.
Well,
if I haven't done it enough already. As always, if you like our podcast, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Fine Wine and Evil Spirits, and also on Twitter at FWES Podcast. Like and share our posts, and don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know in detail what you think about the show and what your favorite parts are. Remember, 5 stars are...
will haunt you.
Remember that time when you talk shit on koalas and their chlamydia?
Oh my god.
And now they're just dying because of the fires.
I feel so bad.
You feel bad?
Yeah, poor koalas. What
do you know that they
deserve that?
Nothing. But what about all the other animals?
I feel bad for the animals, though.
And then, also...
also?
I forgot what I was going to say. The koalas... there was some kind of animal that was taking animals down into the burrows to save them when the fires were happening.
Oh, you told me about this.
Was it a wombat?
Yeah, I think it was a wombat. No.
Would you rather get lost in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or the Blair Witch Project House?
Blair Witch Project House.
What? Really?
Yep. Nah, I don't mess with no chainsaw massacre.
Would you rather wake up in the reverse bear trap in Saul or the needle pit?
Ooh, that one really sucks. Needle pit.
Yeah, I think I would too. Would you rather make out with Pennywise or Michael Myers?
Michael Myers.
Yeah, because he got them, like, sharp... it got them sharp teeth.
I didn't even think of that. I'm scared.
And also, like, Michael Myers is wearing a mask, so... you know. Would you rather spend a week alone in the room with Annabelle or the nun?
Neither. No. probably... oh, wow. I don't like neither.
Well, we didn't see Annabelle. We saw the nun. Oh, right. The nun painting. I don't know. What happens with an unpainting?
Probably just freaks you out. I'm going to say... I've never seen Annabelle. I don't think I did. I'll probably go with the... Annabelle's probably worse. I'm going to go with the nun painting.
Oh, you're crazy. Okay. Would you rather be possessed temporarily by the demon in The Exorcist or the one in Hereditary? You didn't see Hereditary.
No.
But I did. And The Exorcist... you didn't see The Exorcist, did you?
I did. It's just my eyes are closed, okay?
So, I'm forever scarred by The Exorcist, so I'd still, regardless, go with Hereditary.
We'll go with that.
Would you rather try to fight off Freddy Krueger or Leatherface?
Oh, dude, that both sucks. Probably Leatherface. Because you can't sleep. At least with Leatherface, you can sleep.
Would you rather spend your summer camp at Crystal Lake from Friday the 13th or the cabin from The Evil Dead? Did you see The Evil Dead?
I don't think I've seen The Evil
Dead. I don't think so. At least not with me. I know that.
No, I don't think I've seen The Evil Dead cabin.
I feel like I'd probably go with Friday the 13th.
I'd probably go, yeah.
Because the Evil Dead one, like, more things just keep popping up and up. And we never saw Paranormal Activity, so this one's not going to work for us. What is it? The Overlook Hotel, that's the one from The Shining, right?
I don't know.
It says, would you rather spend a night alone
at it is from
the Bates Motel or the Overlook Hotel?
Overlook Hotel.
The Overlook. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's definitely the one from Shining. The Shining. I'd have to go with Bates Motel because Overlook Hotel has all that, like, paranormal shit.
Yeah, Bates Hotel.
I'll take a bat to Norman Bates' kneecaps.